Ezekiel chapter 37 and starting at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own lands. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."
Let's pray again as we come to God's word. We thank you for all that we have just sung to one another, that indeed you will not forsake us. And we thank you now as we come to your word, and we thank you that this word was given by your Holy Spirit. And we ask now that through your Spirit you may give us life through your word. Where there is death, would you give rebirth? And where there is already life, would you revive and renew us and strengthen our faith? And we pray this for our good and for your glory. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, do please have Ezekiel 37 open in front of you, page 868 of the Church Bibles. "Son of man," God asks, "can these bones live?" The question is there in verse 3. It is one of the great questions of the Bible. Can these bones live? And it must have been, wasn't it, such an extraordinary sight. God takes hold of Ezekiel. God's hand takes hold of him by his Spirit and takes him to a valley. We don't have very many valleys, do we, in Hertfordshire? It's low-lying, kind of rolling English countryside. But think of the valleys, maybe a valley in Wales or the Lake District or the Dales or maybe even in the Alps. And Ezekiel is taken to the middle of this valley, and it is full of bones. Millions of them. Human bones. There's a little bit of walk he goes on, taken by the Lord. As he goes up the valley, all he can see is the bones, skulls, pelvic bones, femurs, ribs. As they head down the valley, all they can see is bones. As they walk towards the side of the valley, all they can see are bones. Very dry bones. People, who are they? But they're long dead, whoever they are. No burial for this great army. The bodies have decomposed. The last bits, as it were, have been pecked off. And this is all that is left, dried by the hot Mediterranean sun. A valley full of bones. Son of man, can these bones live? Well, what reply does Ezekiel give? It's not a bad reply, is it, there in verse 3? Sovereign Lord, you alone know. That's not a bad tactic when the living God asks you a question. Knock the ball back over the net into his court. You alone know. It may be just the voice of humility. Who am I to say? But it is striking he doesn't say yes. Of course, there is no breezy answer here. Yes, of course, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. I wonder whether there isn't a hesitancy in Ezekiel. Lord, I know you can, but are you willing? I'm not sure. God has been making great promises in Ezekiel 34, the great promise of a shepherd, the great promise of restoration in 36. Ezekiel, though, I sense, is wondering how this will work out. And he may be thinking, really? Can this really happen? Do you really will this to happen? So you see, the other human voices in this chapter speak words of uncertainty, if not of despair. If you look down to verse 11, the voice of Israel, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. To them, it feels like it is over. It feels like the situation is hopeless. You may be making promises, or they're hearing promises, but really? For Ezekiel, it's a sense of I'm not sure. For Israel, it's no, hope is gone. Can these bones live? And that question is worth asking of ourselves as we begin to look at this chapter. Can these bones live? You see, we live in a world full of death, in a nation that is dead and dying. Look at the spiritual death that has gripped our nation. The church is tiny. And many people are just quietly uninterested. They've dismissed it. They are spiritually dead in their sins and trespasses. Can these bones live? Can men and women be brought to know God in a saving way? The spiritual death. There's also physical death. We've already had two funerals this year, and we will bury John Buttle on Friday. And as the crematorium curtain closes, or the coffin is lowered into the ground, and we know that it is decomposition that awaits it, all that will be left in a while is bones, we can ask the question, can these bones live? Well, what we have in these verses is a staggering picture of life coming to these bones. Just to let you know where we're going this morning, in verses 4 to 10, we have the action as life is breathed into the dead. In verses 11 to 14, we have the interpretation for Ezekiel. Then we'll think about the fulfillment of this great promise, and we'll think about the implications. So we're going to look at the action as life is breathed into the dead, verses 4 to 10. We'll look at its interpretation in 11 to 14, and then we'll think about its fulfillment and its implications. Well, can these bones live? Well, the answer is yes. We're going to see, actually, it happens in two stages, that we'll see bones becoming bodies and then breath coming in to bodies. But as we come to the detail of this, I just want you to notice there are three words which keep on coming up in this section. Did you notice them? Three words which keep reoccurring. They are prophesy, breath, and life. Prophesy, Ezekiel. I'm going to breathe. There's going to be breath, and there's going to be life. The word prophecy occurs six times in these verses. The word life occurs six times. And the word breath occurs seven times. Well, actually, the Hebrew word occurs seven times. And this is an important thing to see about this chapter. The Hebrew word, and forgive my pronunciation for the scholars amongst you, it's something like ruach. Ruah. And that word ruah can be translated either as breath or spirit or winds. The one word in the Hebrew, ruah, is breath, spirit, or wind. And the translators have a headache as they go through here because sometimes they translate it spirit, sometimes it's breath, sometimes it's wind. But it's the same word in the Hebrew, ruah, breath, wind, spirit. We have prophecy, we have breath, ruah, and we have life. Well, Ezekiel, what is he told to do as we see the action? He is told, isn't he, to speak to the bones. That is quite a preaching commission, isn't it? To go and speak to bones. Imagine what people on the side of the valleys, we don't know there's no one there, but imagine if there'd been people watching this going on. You know, Ezekiel, go and speak to the bones. And then they watched him give the sermon. And what's he to do? Well, he's to speak to the bones and he's to give them good news. Verse 4, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. And I'll attach tendons to you and make your flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. He is going to, isn't he, speak to the bones, and he's going to tell them what's going to happen. He is going to reverse, or the process of death is going to be reversed. There's going to be bones, there's going to be tendons, there's going to be flesh, muscle, fat, blood vessels, and then skin to cover it. But actually, as Ezekiel begins to work, it will happen in two stages. Stage one, as we've already said, is bones to bodies. I do love verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I did what I was told. He'd given me words to say, and I did what I was told. I prophesied as I was commanded, given the words, and I spoke to the bones. And as he was speaking, something started to happen. There was a rattling sound. Many, many years ago, I used to own a box of bones. It used to be standard in those days for medical students to have their own skeleton, their own half-skeleton. I had my half-skeleton in its box, and it used to rattle a little bit. I think bones make a distinctive sort of rattle as they are in their box and you carry them around. Well, this was quite a rattle. As he begins to speak, these bones begin to move about and to get back into their right order, those skulls, those femurs, those ribs, and all the other million bones of the body. I can't remember the number. Hannah can tell us afterwards over coffee how many bones there are in the body, whatever. The bones come, the muscles appear. The skin comes on, and in stage one, by the end of it, we have a valley full of bodies, but no life. There needs to be stage two there in verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it. He is, having spoken to the bones, Ezekiel is now to prophesy to the breath, to the wind, to the spirit. And he speaks. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come breath, come spirit, come wind from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. And he does exactly that. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. You see, God delegates to his prophets. He prophesies. Breath comes and life is given. An amazing piece of action, isn't it, here in these verses? Now, we're going to kick forward in a moment in our Bibles and see how this is fulfilled. But does this remind you of anything that has happened previously in the Bible? This forming of the body and the breathing in of life. Turn back to page 4. Keep something in Ezekiel 37. We're going to be all over the place this morning, I think I can fairly say, but we're going to be in and out of Ezekiel 37. Just come back to page 4 in Genesis chapter 2. And remember, by the way, as you come to Genesis chapter 2, we've already had Eden language in chapter 36. We've already had a kind of home in Ezekiel 36, a new home. But let's go back to the first home, to Eden. And look at chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being, forming and breathing to have life. And here in Ezekiel 37, forming and breathing to have life. Well, come back to 37, to chapter 37, Ezekiel. What is the interpretation? What is this all about? Who are these people and what does this all mean? Well, Ezekiel is given the explanation of this there in verses 11 to 14. Then he said to me, son of man, these bodies are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you back from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. You see, the bones are the people of Israel. And they are saying our hope is gone, we are dead. There is no future for us. And what is God going to do? Well, he's going to powerfully act by his spirit to bring them, as it were, from the dead and to bring them home to this restored home which he has spoken about in chapter 36. By his spirit, Israel will be given life, new life, raised up so they can live in the restored and renewed and cleansed home. But what is this referring to? We've given the interpretation. That's what Ezekiel says it is all about. But that leaves some big questions for us. Let me share with you what the question that the commentators argue over. See, is this speaking of physical resurrection, or is this speaking of spiritual rebirth? Is this about the raising of bodies or the giving of spiritual life to Israel and the giving of the Spirit so that they have hearts which love God? Can you see the difference between the two things? One is the physical resurrection, the raising up of the dead. The other is the giving to the living, as it were, spiritual life. Spiritually dead, but giving them spiritually life. Which of those two things is it? Is it physical resurrection or is it spiritual rebirth? Well, why might we say it is physical resurrection? Well, in one sense, it is the kind of plain reading of the chapter, isn't it? Verses 12 and 13, I'm going to bring you up out of your graves. It's a valley of dry bones. They are physically dead. There are these parallels, aren't there, which I've already shared with you from Genesis 2. You're going to populate this new home. You need to give them life and you need to raise them. You need to raise them from the dead in some way and bring them into this new earth. I think as well, question 11 could be asked saying, you know, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. See, verse 11 could be saying, look, thousands, if not millions of our fellow Jews have already died. We're stuck here in exile. We're going to die here. Is there not a sense for which, even though God, you are giving great promises, there's no hope for us? Our brothers, our sisters, our children are dead. We're going to die. You may be giving promises, but there's no hope. And he's saying here, actually there is, because there's resurrection hope. I'm going to bring you out of your graves and you will receive this new home. You see, I think you can make a very, very strong case for saying this is about resurrection life. But equally, I think you could say it's about spiritual life, about the spiritual rebirth. You see, we've already reflected this morning on, with Tom on chapter 36, verse 26. It's all about how God puts his spirit into his people and gives them a new heart and gives them life. It could well be in verse 11 when Israel says our bones have dried up. They're saying we are spiritually dead. Is there any hope for the spiritually dead? Is it spiritual rebirth or is it resurrection? It's both. I think it is clearly teaching both. That Ezekiel is promising the people spiritual rebirth and resurrection life. He doesn't separate them out. They are both absolutely there in these chapters. So, Ezekiel promising spiritual rebirth. He is promising resurrection life by the Spirit, by the breath of God. The breath giving new life and giving resurrection life down the track. Well, actually, he sees them together at this point. How will this promise be fulfilled? To what is this great vision pointing? Well, let's move on 500 years to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and to see how he picked up on these things. I believe he knew Ezekiel extremely well, and we see that particularly in John's Gospel. Come with me to John chapter 5 again. Keep a sheet in one of the notice sheets or on the song sheets in Ezekiel 37, and come through with me to John 5. John chapter 5. Good to stop off at John 3 on the way, by the way. Get to John 5 and just turn back a couple of pages to John 3. I don't want to miss anything out with you. There's so much good stuff in here. John 3, we looked at last week. We were talking about spiritual rebirth. And this is just fascinating, just a 3:38. We're just passing very quickly through here, but I just didn't want you to miss out. 3:8. As he describes the work of the Spirit, how does he describe the work of the Spirit? 3:8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. That's Ezekiel language, isn't it? You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is everyone born of the Spirit. Even in John 3, where he's spoken about rebirth, it's Ezekiel language. From the wind blows where it is. The Spirit blows where he will. But come with me to John 5. Jesus speaking. And listen to 24 onwards. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Recognize that from Ezekiel 37? As you hear the word, you pass from death to life. It's a life you can have now. And isn't that extraordinary? There is a time there in verse 25. A time is coming, has now come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. That's just Ezekiel 37 language, isn't it? As the word comes and is believed by the dead, so they go from death to life. You see, Jesus is saying, I'm looking back to Ezekiel 37, believe in me, trust in me, and you move from death to life. You are given spiritual life. But it doesn't end there, does it? Look at verse 28. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. He also speaks about resurrection life. I give life now so that you move from life to death, but a time is coming when everyone in their graves will come out. Some to life, some to judgment and condemnation. So Jesus Christ says, I am the fulfillment. I am the one who by the Spirit gives you life now and will give you resurrection life then. And you see here as we read John, we have what we saw last week is this kind of now, not yet. The now, not yet. You see, the two things in Ezekiel are together, spiritual life and resurrection life. But we don't experience that like that. We experience the now, not yet. We have the now of life in Christ. And we Gentiles, by the way, receive this through faith in Christ just as the Jews do. We receive life in Christ and we're given the Spirit. We have life now through faith. And we will then have resurrection life. And this idea of life now, yet life to come, runs right through the New Testament, this now, not yet. We're going to turn to somewhere in a moment, just for a moment before we go there, think of Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were dead spiritually, but Christ, because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. There's a sense in which we have been given life now and raised with Christ. But again, just I want to show you again this life now and life to come by the Spirit. Come with me to Romans 8, would you please? Sorry, there's a lot of flicking around this morning. I don't normally like to do it too much, but I think it's very helpful for us to understand in Ezekiel 37. Romans 8. It's on page 1134. Romans 8, verses 10 and 11. Speaking here to the believers who have the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8, 10. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, in other words, we're all going to die, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. You have the Spirit in you and you have life. Even now. And then verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and if you are a believer, he is, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. You have the Spirit that's given you life now, and the Spirit will raise you up then. Life now, Spirit there, life then by the Spirit. You see, Ezekiel 37 is a promise and a picture, coming back to Ezekiel 37, is a promise and a picture of salvation. God breathes onto us and we receive life now, spiritual life. We receive the Spirit and we look forward to life then, when the Spirit will raise us up. Can these bones live? Yes. Let's think of some of the implications and applications of this. Firstly, have you received this life? You see, there will be a judgment at the end. There will be a general resurrection. There will be the raising of every man, woman, and child that has ever lived to a judgment and a final separation. But the only way you see that we will receive life and be eternally happy with God in the new heavens and the new earth is if we have received life now. If we have been born of the Spirit now. If we've turned to Christ and put our faith in Him now and been born again. Have you received the Spirit? Have you been born again? Have you received this new life? Put your faith in Christ. Secondly, if you are someone who is trusting in Christ, give thanks that He has given you life now. He made you and has made you alive. You were dead in your sins and trespasses, and you have been raised with Christ, made alive with Him. That is an amazing thing, isn't it? Your sins have been forgiven. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You've been united with Christ. And you have His life in you, transforming your desires, prompting you to pray, giving you a love for His word. Rejoice that you have life in you. Third area of application, if you are someone who is trusting in Christ, be utterly confident that you will have life beyond the grave. I believe Ezekiel 37 is about giving Ezekiel and Israel confidence that God has the power to deliver on His promises by His Spirit. As you go round the cemeteries, I like to visit cemeteries. It's fascinating to see what people say about themselves in death and what people say of the dead. Walk round and ask yourself the question, can these bones live? The answer is yes, yes, yes. And those who have died in Christ will be raised on that last day to enjoy Him forever. As you face death, as we bury our beloved ones in Christ, can these bones live? Yes. Every time there's a Christian funeral, as we look forward, put them into the grave, can these bones live? Yes, yes, yes. We have a sure and certain hope of the resurrection. I think there are also huge implications in this chapter for evangelism and important lessons for us as we look to make Jesus Christ known to those around us and to our nation. Can these bones live? Can God give spiritual life to the dead? Can He work in the uninterested? Can He do that which we cannot do? Yes. How does He give life? You see, that chapter, this chapter helps us answer that question. How does He give life? How did He give life in Ezekiel 37? By a sermon. By the declaration to the dead of good news. Imagine the people, the imaginary people sitting on the side of the valley looking in at this prophet speaking to these bones. Ezekiel, you're wasting your time. But actually, as he spoke, life was given to the dead. God gave life by His Spirit through His word. Yes? That's what happened in Ezekiel 37. How does God give life now? God gives life by His Spirit through His words. He works in exactly the same way now. The word of the gospel. Say that in your own heads. God gives life by His Spirit through His words. You see, we've always, it's a great privilege, we've always got new folk coming in and joining us, and people wonder what we're about here. And you see, fundamentally, we concentrate on proclaiming the gospel and teaching God's word because we believe that God works to give life by his Spirit through his words. There may be people sitting on the side of the valley thinking that is a ridiculous thing to do. But actually, God gives life by his Spirit through his words. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, has power to give life. There is power in the very word of God. And you see, that gives us confidence, doesn't it, in the proclamation of the gospel, in the sharing of the gospel with our friends, in the bringing of people under the sound of the gospel. It's how they receive life. God gives life by his Spirit through his words. And finally, of course, Ezekiel 37, we couldn't end without doing this. What is the end game? What is the end game of God's great actions in Christ to give life to people, to bring about a new creation and the rescue of a people? What is the end? They're at the end of verse 14. We've already had it in verse 5, in verse 6. Oh God, we've got a verse 6. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 14. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it. All glory goes to him as he brings about his great plan of salvation. Let's pray. Father, where there are men and women amongst us who have not yet known the rebirth, would you please grant life? Where we already have life, would you renew our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? We thank you for the life that you have given us in him by the Spirit, that we have been made alive with him, that you have granted us life by the Spirit. And we thank you for the confidence that we can have as we look to the future, being certain of the resurrection. And Lord, we thank you for the reminders in this chapter of how you work to give life by the Spirit through your words. Please give us a fresh confidence in the gospel as we speak to share the gospel with a nation that is dead. Help us to do that with courtesy, with gentleness. But help us, Lord, to speak and to bring under the sound of the gospel that others may live and glorify you. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we close, we're going to sing, "See What a Morning Gloriously Bright." This, of course, focuses on the resurrection of Jesus. And, of course, it is his resurrection which gives us the ground of hope and confidence in for our resurrection. See what a morning gloriously bright. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.